Good evening. When this topic was given to me a couple of months ago, and my date started changing, other things, they said, oh, we have to, other people are coming, so you have more time, he said. The more time was more tension for me. So, but anyway, I just gave the Lord what I found out, it was how the prayer of David. So it was very keen to know about more about the prayer of David, especially in this particular portion of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. How it was when I was going through this thing, you know, I was going back to my thing, saying that how good I am, and how, not good in a sense, how more am I spending time in prayer. So always my conscience was very, very poking me when I was reading this topic, you know. What a person this was, and what he was, and how humble he was. So before we go through more into this, we'll just open with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us over here. Father, thank you, Lord, this place of worship you have given unto us, where we could come freely and share your word, listen to your word. Father, as we share, speak to us what you have to say through us through this word. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We ask all this in the matchless and wonderful name of our dear Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we, the beginning of this, before I could start, I was just going through different things of David, his life, and how his prayer life was. You see here, in the first verse itself in chapter 29, King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom God had chosen, is young and inexperienced, and the work is great, because the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. In today's world, when we see, you go for a job, the first thing they'll ask you, tell me your experience, where you worked, and what is relevant for this that you want this job. So when you go somewhere, when I first came to this country, I just landed here in a couple of months, I'm going for interview, you have a local experience. I said, I just landed here in this country, and where will I have a local experience? I have experience overseas and previous place where I was born and other countries, but not in this country. I just come here only just a couple of weeks ago. And how you ask me for this question? Oh, that's a general question is there now. So that's how everywhere where I used to go, they used to ask, you have a local experience. But you see, David, he knows his son is inexperienced. And he knows that the task is not a small task. It's a very great task. But you see that in the previous chapter, we see it in, 1 second. In verse 20, in chapter 28, verse 20, God and David said to Solomon, be strong and of a good courage, and do not fear, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of this of the Lord. You see, very clearly, it's a person who said this, David, his father, out of full experience. He's seen how the Lord had led him from a shepherd to becoming the one of the most powerful king, established king in Israel. So it's not just words what he said. He's telling, my God, who's done for me, is going to do for you, and he won't leave you nor forsake you. So in this people, in today's world, there are some people will say they will be with you, but when things come close, you know, and they say when they cannot, they'll just wash their hands and they'll forsake you. But the Lord, he said, because he's experienced, that his Lord had never forsook him. And it's so clear, and it said this, that, but what is his main prayer, what we see here? We see in Psalms chapter 51. Psalms 51, verse 10 and 11. David's prayer was almost very humble prayer. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." He's writing the psalmist that after he's Nathan the prophet came and told him what he did was wrong with Bathsheba, and it was so struck him very hard, but immediately humbled himself. What he says here: "Create in me a clean heart, and before that, hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities." In verse 9, he's saying, "Hide your face from my iniquities." He's saying, "Don't see my iniquities. Hide your face, and create in me a clean heart." God wants us to have a clean heart. God does not want to see how much you give, is what type of intention you're giving, whether you're giving with a clean heart or just giving out a surplus of what you're doing. So he wants to have a clean heart and renew the steadfast spirit within me. In verse 11, he said, "Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take a Holy Spirit away from him." So he always wanted God's guidance in every aspect of his life. Whether it may be in a sorrow or in a sting, every time when David went, before he could go for a war or do anything, he said, you can always see, he inquired of the Lord. Whether to go to the war or not go to the war, everything, he was always humble and asked. The Lord says yes, then he goes. If the Lord says no, he stays back, because he knows all the wars what he has done was won by just not by his own strength, but by God. God is the one who said, "I will deliver them into your hands." Very clearly it is said, God says, "I am going to deliver them into your hands." So he knew that every step, whatever he inquired and asked God, he's saying that God is going to hand over that to you. This chapter of Chronicles chapter 29 consists of four sections. From verse 1 to 9, it talks about the gifts, what the king and all others are giving towards the temple. And the next one is David's prayer. From verse 10 to 20 is David's prayer and people's response to what the Lord, how they gave it to, what way they gave. And from verse 21 to 25, Solomon's intercession to the throne. And the last 21 to 25, 26 to 30 is, and concluding, the praise of David's reign, how he lived and what he did and how God honored him in everything. The first example when you see in this itself, we see here there are seven things. One is a clean heart. In this effective prayer of David, is first one is a clean heart. Second is humility. Third is submission. Fourth is trust. Fifth is faith. Sixth is petition. And seventh is gratitude. So always he emphasized in everything, what is this first was, before he wanted to go to God, he said, "Cleanse my heart, clean my heart." That's the first thing he wants to do. He doesn't want a dirty heart with a bad intention going to the Lord. First he wants to clean his heart. Then he wants to humble himself. Then his submission. Then trusting God for everything. Not for the simplest thing, he used to trust God. Should I do this? Should I do that? And fifth was the faith which he had in God, that he'll never leave nor forsake you. And the sixth one was his petition. Before he goes, can I do it? And the seventh one was his thankfulness and gratitude for what the Lord was doing and has done for him all his life. So that's the reason he had a good word of testimony. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. Because all these years, for 40 years I reigned, and all what I did was God has shown me and held me by my hand and led this country, this nation, and made it great. Because of not mine, but because of the Lord. Always he humbled himself and gave the Lord the praise. And you can see here in verse In this, David prays the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. See, someone is a king. Today's world, anybody gained something, popularity, they'll say, yeah, I did it, I could do this, I accomplished this. All this I comes. But David acknowledges that in front of everyone, it's not me. He praises God and he says, God of the Father from everlasting to everlasting. He says, he's telling that not now, it's from everlasting to everlasting. Our Lord is the greatness of power and glory and majesty and splendor, for everything in earth and in heaven is yours. He's saying everything what is there, what we can see and what we cannot see, everything belongs to the Lord. Nothing is theirs. So first thing is, what he sees is total submission to everything what God has shown and given to him. And next he says, like, how much of treasure he had saved and kept to do the work of the temple. He saved so much of gold, 3,000 talents of gold and 7,000 talents of refined silver. So he sees here, he not only, same way in today's everybody's life, what we see is, what do you want to do? I want to save some money, buy a house. Everybody's thinking of their own personal thing. But you see here, David, he's saying, I want prepared this to build the temple. How much the heart of David was towards God and the temple. So much he gave importance for giving. That's the biggest thing, you know. And the next one, what he says is, in verse 5, he says, who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord? So he not only wanted to show that I put all this investment, I'm doing all this, but first and foremost thing, he wants everybody who is willing to consecrate. Just don't come with a, just want to go, he asked me, I have to give. Come with a sacred heart. Come with something heart where you're giving with the full happiness, not to the, I have to give because he came and asked. You know, some people like give a gift, you know, oh, I don't like to give because he came and asked, I'm giving. Don't have that kind of heart and attitude to giving towards God. So first of all, he asked them to consecrate, create them to make their heart clean, sacred, before you want to do something. So all of them, what are then the leaders of the Father's house, the leaders of the tribe of Israel, and the captains of things. You see there, here I see here, more than what David gave, the others gave. When David gave only 3,000 talents, what do you see here? Almost 5,000 talents and 10,000, so 15,000 talents, almost five times more what David gave, the people gave. So that's the way he wants them saying, not that I built the temple, it's we all built the temple. He wants to get everybody together and say that it's not I, but we, as we were strangers in the land. You can see here, he acknowledges that we were nothing in Egypt. We were just slaves there. And that time, Egypt was the most powerful kingdom and army in the world that time. And against them, they have no option, no way to come out from that slavery. But God, with his powerful hand, took them out of that land and gave them, they were like strangers walking in the desert for 40 years. They did not have a land, did not have a place to worship, did not have something to say that is mine. So when they got it, the joy is something when you can see, like for today's world, you can see if a person is homeless and then you give him a house for him to stay, how happy he feels. Same way, like you can say this, people of Israelites were homeless, they're living in tents, nothing to say, it's their own. And last, they have a place. So they want to acknowledge God who gave them all this. That's what it says here in verse 14. But who am I and who are my people? See how he humbles them. Who am I? What am I that I must give to you? Say that we should be able to offer so willingly as this. For all the things come from you and your own we have given you. What we have in our hands is what you have given unto us. So how humble he acknowledges that God is the sustainer and supplier and everything of his life. So he says here, In verse 15, for we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as we all are our fathers, our days on earth as like a shadow and without hope. See, there's no way, no hope for them that they will ever, ever, ever come out of. 400 years they were living, they said, because the Lord heard their cry. When they cried out to the Lord, today morning what we saw was, when the Lord blessed them, they forgot them and they went and followed idols. And again they cried out to the Lord and again the Lord helped them. So the Lord hears your cry. It should be a sincere cry, not just for your personal gain or something. You really need something. When you really cry out to God, the Lord answers you not in your time, but in His time. But we must be faithful and have a clean heart when you do it. Whatever you ask, it's just right. Is it really pleasing for the Lord what I get? But it says here, same here, what it says is, and he acknowledged and asked them that David praised God and guided Solomon as king and anointed king in the second time and assumed throne in the David's place. It shows here very clearly that he always knew when he was handing over to Solomon that he is not capable. But he says, the Lord will never leave you. So that is what our Lord is in today's world, you know, where we come from and whatever we happen, because he knew the task of building that temple is very great, and because it's not more than a building, it's more than a building, you know, not just a place where you can just build and just get in there, but it was more than a building for Solomon to ever think, because there's nothing to, like, some copy of or something where he can take off from that and think that model, I want this model and that model. He had to do everything by himself because, and that too, it's the first time and the fellow who's just being a son of a king and suddenly asking to be a king and now going to build a temple. It's a hard task for him. But the Lord was with Solomon because of his father, David. Because how faithful he was, a man after my own heart. But we see here, this thing is something different from what we see here, and how the gifts what David had given was not only his, but he got everyone involved. What it says, all those who had came and gave willingly. Sorry. Willingly offered, willingly things. That's one thing which I really like to see, you know, when you offer willingly, there's a happiness when you give it willingly. When you give it with some, with a grudge in your heart, it's of no point of giving, rather you don't give it. So when you give it willingly, but how that applies in our heart for today's world. When you see here, the key thing of simple gift is not by giving to people. The king rejoices in wholehearted devotion. That is what in today's world also when you see many churches, they ask for money. Publicly they ask for money, I want money and this. And that's, they don't trust God. But if you put it in prayer and you committed the Lord in prayer, God will speak to each individual and give a burden to them in their heart that they will give to. Only thing when you address, when you commit to the Lord, I know a person who established many churches in India, but first thing when he came to know the Lord, he said, I will serve you. I will not ask one man a penny. I will only do your work. So funding should be come from you. I will not ask a man. And that man established 1,000 churches in India and 200 in Pakistan. How do you think? One man. But one thing he said, I will not go into any denomination. I will only do based on New Testament churches. I will go pray. People come to know the Lord. And then I will do that and I'll pray. Then it's the duty of you. Get. And people those days sold their bicycles, which they go to work, to buy a church. That's how they were so much, because God put a burden in their hearts. So think like that, when we trust God, God does got a million ways to do His plan. Only we have to be in tune to understand God's way. That's what David knew it. That's what it says, a man after my own heart. Why God has given a stamp, they're saying he's after David, my son, a man after my own heart. But we basically see, we miss the point when we see the model of funding projects in the temple. But you see here, Jesus fulfilled in John chapter 2. In John chapter 2 and verse 18 to 20. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Jesus answered and said, I will destroy this temple in 3 days and he'll raise it up. Then the Jews said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple and you'll raise it up in 3 days. But you are speaking of the temple of his body. You see, but people think the Lord lives in a building. No, the Lord's temple is the heart of man. That's where he lives. That's where he wants to live. And also we see here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. 19 to 22. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having built upon the foundation of the apostle prophet Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So when we are in whom the whole building is being fitted together grows as a holy temple, in whom also you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Lord. See, for us, today's world for us is where we are, where we put our hearts. Our Lord, because the Lord is the chief cornerstone of this temple, and we are built together as one with them. But we see here all these things, but the way David wanted to honor God was with all what he had. Today's world, how are we honoring God? With our money, with our time, with our wealth, what all, with our health, what all we have, are we able to share with one another? Because we see here in Acts, they're saying all of them sold and were giving to others, that no one was want. So that's how they were sharing. That's what we see here in the example, where all of them, all what they had, they gave willingly. So how is it that in today's world that we will be apply that into our lives? How will he go? It's not that we want to see need of another person. How? Not that God wants your money. He doesn't want your thing, but he wants to show the love which is given to you to those around you. There'll be people who are struggling in life. There'll be people who do not have certain things which you have. That's how you share it with them. When you share it with them, you show the love what the Lord has shown to you. So in these things, we show how generous God was with things. The theme of David's song was offering. In verse 14, you see, he says that, who am I? Because even though he had all the money, gold and thing, but still he humbles himself. So where are we? How are we putting it into our lives, our practice? What's that prayer life for us to be? How you want to things put it to? So we basically see how where all we humble ourselves before God and we say, and humble such a way what to say, who am I that you are giving this to me? God is giving us certain things in life, not for us to keep it to ourselves, but to share it with one another. Because God can directly give it to that person, but he wants to know your heart. Are you willing to share what I've given it to you, which is given to you free? Are you willing to share that what God has given it to us? So when you see in each verse and everything, how we are humbling ourselves and how we are practicing it in terms of, and he says here, and in verse 17, I also know also my God will test the heart. God tests the heart. How much I've given you, how much you have given to them. And have pleasure in uprightness. Not just by giving, what upright heart you have and what willingly have you given. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here oftenly, willingly too. So everybody's heart was in same tune when David, the great king, humbled himself. When you humble yourself, God will uplift you. And he'll also make others around you also the same tune with you. The Lord asks, it's the Lord of the God of Abraham, Isaac, in verse 18. Fathers, keep forever this intent for the thoughts of the heart of the people and fix their heart toward you. So the only prayer always for David was to fix his heart toward God. So how are we able to fix our heart towards God when we see people who are not doing that well in life? Or are we turning our face, our head away? We're not sharing with what we have. So we should, God has given us certain things in life so that we should love and share it with one another. And also he asked, and give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments and your testimonies and your statutes, to do all these things, to build the temple for which I have made provisions. So he's saying God to give a heart to his son. See, because he knew how the Lord's heart was, how he was tuned to Lord's heart, he wants also his son also to give God give him the heart the same way he has given it to him towards God, his testimony and his statutes. So in life of David, we see here how he was humbling himself and how he wants others also to humble themselves before God and how he wants to submit to one another. And in things of doing things for God. And also when he sees here in the end of his life, what a glorious life he had, you can see. They say then in verse 26, thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel, and the period of his reign was 40 years, 37 reign years in Hebron and 3 years. He died at a good old age, full of days, riches and honor. That's what you see here. When you honor God, God honors you. In whatever situation you may be, that's what we see in 2 Corinthians 10. We do not fight against flesh and blood. Our weapon is not when people of this world, they try to attack you in various ways. Our weapon is not to fight back, but to just humble ourselves and keep showing love to them. So that is what our greatest weapon is, not by fighting back with what we have, but committed to the Lord and submit to the Lord. And God will take away that bitterness of that person's heart away when we show love. So that is what our love towards God should be in our day-to-day life, and our practice might be in your workplace. It might be a neighbor, how they see you, what they do for you, and what you do for them, so that they feel always happy when they see you, or they don't want to talk to you. So all these simple things matters when we committed everything to the Lord in prayer. We must pray for our neighbors, not just not till next day, but also for those who we are working with, so that when they must see something different in us, so that the love of God will be seen in our lives. Not just to show a frowny heart and on a Sunday come with a very happy face and only what the people over here, with the congregation over here, you're happy, and other people. So what's that do? You're showing a different color of face, you know? So you should always have the same heart that you have here with the people. People over there might not be the way what is people over here. They're different because they do not know what the love of God is. So there we have to show how to share God's love in each aspect of our life, wherever God has placed you for that. That's the reason God has placed you over there. God has placed me over there in my place. Many things I have seen is whenever I go, I have to commit that day to the Lord in prayer. I just don't know what I'm doing. When I go to work also, before I go to work, myself and my wife, we both pray. I said, Lord, I'm going. I know what I'm going to do today. I leave that day to you. Commit this day. I do not know whether, give me the strength, give the wisdom and the knowledge for me to do the task and the safety to go and come back. Basically, in my workplace, I'm not boasting of myself. I just humbling myself. Many people have problem with fixing things. They call me, call Daniel, he'll be fix it for you. I don't know. I just go there, I stand and I see, I know what, I did something, all becomes okay. He said, what did I did nothing, I said. So basically, because I committed that day to the Lord, I don't know. I said, God, you give me wisdom whether I'm doing right or wrong, I do not know. I just go there and I say, but there I always like for me, you know, they don't find things, they say, go to Daniel, he'll have everything in his toolbox. So he'll ask for something, I'll go see, I might find, I give it to him. They say, your toolbox is like a Bunnings, they say to me. No, because what I did, I just want to say, but Lord, wherever I am, I like to be some fruit to somebody helpful to somebody so that they may, that your name may be glorified. That's what for me in my life, not to show what I can or what I can't, but I come into, even though I can't also, I just go try to help them and it helps them. So that's why in our day-to-day life, we should be, for me, my, when you commit that prayer to the Lord. So I, for this, when this topic came to me, I was reading many things about David, his prayer life, and even though he had so many sins he committed, but everything he acknowledged, humbled himself, and he said, create in me a clean heart. That's our prayer. You know, this world today, we are going and we are going here and there. So many things are happening. We always, we don't know what we are thinking. Suddenly we'll go against something. So we should always, when we come back, okay, the conscience should always be, oh, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Should always be there in our heart that such a way we should not be, we should be honoring God in every part of our life. Whether it be at work, it be at home, or wherever we are, we should honor God. And this few things of mine which I thought was, is what is the time, what we see is, we see the integrity of David and before the Lord, how it looks into our lives in this daily, David's final journey, you know. You see how he honored God and how God honored him. So in things that is, how now in personal life, what are we doing in this thing? In praying, what we pray? Spend timing in prayer. Exalting God. Praising him for his goodness and also humbling ourselves before him. When we do that, when we humble ourselves, when we praise God, when we thank God for everything, he honors us. He glorifies. But his name should be glorified in and through our lives, in all aspects of our life. So let us always commit this thing that how the life of David, even though he was just a shepherd, he became the greatest king of Israel. Not that, but God has placed us here to do his plan, his will. And let us pray and commit that we may be able to be uplifted and uplift others to glorify God and to bring others to Christ. May his name be glorified. Can we sing? What's that song? 227. Please, you can sit and sing and sing that song. 227, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to the bosom fly. While the nearest waters roll, while the tempest still is high, hide me, O my Savior, hide till the storm of life is past. Safe into the heaven guide, O receive my soul at last. Be seated, we can sing that song. Lovely Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, as let us, as you speak to us through your word, let us humble ourselves. Let us give you the glory in everything what we do. We thank you for all this. Father, as we depart, take us back home safely. Till we meet again, keep us under your presence. We thank you and commit and ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.